Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. The celebrated filmmaking duo and brothers, Bill Ross and Turner Ross, known for such films as Bloody Nose and Empty Pockets, turn their pioneering hybrid approach to the cinematic road trip that is Gasoline Rainbow. This raw and yet loving film is an expansive portrait of the new generation as told in their own words. With high school in the rearview mirror, these five teenagers from inland Oregon take off for the coast in a busted van and no real plan. This is a film about people in transition trying to figure things out. Beautifully done. It is just a wonderful piece of cinema, as well as a wonderful story about these young people. The film again is called Gasoline Rainbow, and we're joined today by the co-directors, Bill Ross and Turner Ross. To both of you, welcome back to Film School Radio.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be back.
From the get-go, from the very, very opening of this film, our introduction to the characters in the film that we're going to be spending a lot of time with, there's so much here in terms of if you like to be taken on a ride figuratively and literally, this is a great film for you to check out. What was the inspiration? Turner, where did this start?
This one was interesting because we started first with landscape. It was, we're interested in regionalism and encountering spaces, celebrating spaces that are either very meaningful to us or are about to be. Bill and I had spent some good time in the Northwest. You know, a lot of the films that we grew up on, Goonies, Stand By Me, My Own Private Idaho, they share that landscape. And even before we had started writing and conceiving of what the arc of it would be, the inspirations were, I had hitchhiked through there. I'd hopped trains through there. You know, Bill and I had explored the area. And it sort of speaks to how these things come to be. You know, they're informed by personal experience, by things that we wish to explore, things that we wish to process. And when the world shut down after releasing the last film, our brains were already in high gear and they needed to do something. And we thought, you know, who probably has it worse is our former selves who were just about to be able to leave everything behind, who were just about ready to open those doors and embrace the big world. And then you can't, you know, and we wanted to go see what those kids were up to and what they had to say and what they were going through and see what would happen when they did emerge out into the world like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. You know, what colors would they see? What characters would they meet? And how would they speak to the conditions of their experience now?
I was reading up on the film. Is this sort of the origins of the kind of the body of this? Episodes of Delinquency? What is that in relation to this film?
Where is that information at? Yes, no, it's true. It's true. It's when Turner and I were... Oh, I guess early 20s, we started making films, I guess.
It started right when you moved away from home, Bill. Right.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. So
started writing back and forth.
We started writing short stories back and forth, emailing them to each other about, they're based on our upbringing, and they were just stories about growing up in small town. And so... Yeah, I always wanted to do something with those. And the first movie, the 45365, is was a way to deal with those stories in a way, but like we needed a film that we could control a little bit in order to speak to those feelings more directly. So Episodes of Delinquency is a bunch of short stories that we had emailed back and forth to each other back in the day.
If he's being honest, it was, we were a little more delinquent.
I'm trying to be honest. I just don't remember very well.
We were a little more delinquent than these kids, they presented a much more hopeful,
hence the title,
generous version of the film, of the experience.
This is the hard part for me to talk about, because I really don't want to give away too much about the sort of the broad outlines of the film, the meta part of the film.
Yeah.
But I was watching, as I'm watching it, I was, some reason this song, a Sean Colvin song came to mind, Riding Shotgun on the Avalanche. And I felt like, in some manner of speaking, that's what this film feels like. You're riding shotgun.
Familiar. I'm writing that down. Yeah. Riding Shotgun on the Avalanche. Okay.
Yeah. And it's all about sort of a sense of chaos and youth and figuring things out and life and everything that goes along with it. It is an amazing cinematic experience for me. And again, how you got to know these young people, how they played into to being a part of this enterprise, without giving too much more than that away. How did you get to know these incredibly connected characters that we see in the film? Turner, you want to take that, or whoever?
We went through an extensive casting process. It was cast during the pandemic. Two of our friends, Jesse and Lauren, who had a casting company down here in New Orleans at the time, went up and wore our boots on the ground while Bill and I came and went scouting and writing. And we met hundreds of people, of kids, of potential characters, because the looseness of the writing and the construction of the film mean that as we're casting, the casting can inform the writing. And then the writing in turn informs the casting, and back and forth until we get into production. And then the cast helps us write the film in real time. So with mostly first-time actors, people who are spending their first time in front of the camera, they kind of have to jump through the screen, you know, and a little bit of screen testing helps. And we interact a bit beforehand, just understanding what we're getting into, how it's going to be, and that we're all complicit in this together. Yeah. Fortunately, we found two groups, the three boys and the two girls were just fast friends before we started shooting. And they created an incredible alchemy as soon as we brought them together. Because, you know, they are our through line. And then along the way, we wanted to make sure that all those who had invested time with us got an opportunity to appear there as well and have their stories told. So all the party scenes are populated by people who came to cast with us. And as we were scouting locations, Bill and I found a number of people who just jumped out of life. And we knew they would come through the camera. And it evolves that way. You know, we write it to get to it. We write it while we're doing it. We write it in the edit. And that way we can be, when we're shooting, we can be ultra present, you know, with an awareness of what our intention is, of what we need, with a cast who, you know, is really complicit and really excited to be there. And the beauty of this cast is that they really were, you know, they were that age and they were at that moment in their lives specifically. They had graduated from high school a few days before we started shooting. So while that's the crux of the story, it's also the reality. Yeah. They were seeing and experiencing everything together for the first time, confronting the unknown, interacting with new people, finding themselves along the way. And so by the time they reached the end, they've processed so much, gone through so much together, gone on such an emotional journey that the arrival is very genuine.
Bill, before you chime in, I just want to say that I don't think I've given enough time to this is a road trip film. It's a road trip film by kids who are, again, as I said at the beginning of the interview, trying to figure things out. They have a friendship, they have a bond. And from there, it is literally in some ways like Wizard of Oz. They're trying to get to the ocean. They're trying to get to Oz. And I really appreciate reimagining that, rejiggering our particular point of view about what that means, and through the eyes of a generation of people that we're only now beginning to understand and who are coming into their own. So I really appreciate that about the film. But to Turner's point, making this happen had to have been one of the great logistical feats that you guys have ever tried to tackle, right? Just how you did this. Looks like it was an amazing operation just to do what you did.
True. So behind the camera, there were seven of us, and everyone was doing Like I was doing folks laundry, you know, in our off time, we were all wearing every hat. So, I don't want to give anything away, but
yeah, exactly.
There are some big moments in the film that, we really thread the needle on pulling off. It took as much planning and coordinating as we possibly could, and we got extremely lucky throughout the entirety. Luck had a lot to do with it. We also had incredible producers with us on the road and overseeing things from afar. And also it was, you know, in the middle of COVID. So fortunately no one got sick, and it was, it's rather remarkable that the film exists.
As someone who has watched a whole lot of movies in my life, I can tell you that there had to be points in the making of this film where you were both looking at each other like, what the fuck are we? I mean, literally, like, how did we?
Every day, yeah.
Yes.
That's got to be exhilarating, Turner. That's got to be, I mean, the other side of it is, wow, right? Hopefully.
That is the thrill, you know, that is the thrill of it. And that is the risk, ultimately, which means that is what keeps it alive. For us, the key ingredient is making sure that no step of the process is dead or cold, that it's always a living, breathing thing in which there is risk and opportunity, because out of that becomes magic and serendipity. We planned this while the world was shut down, just believing that there would be a future tense in which it could be made. That happened. And then, you know, we shot for 6 weeks straight without injury or death or disaster. We had one location change. The weather cooperated. There wasn't a protest in Portland that shut us down. It's insane. And that means it's also cumulative. You know, so when I say the kids arrive at the end of the film, having gone through a grand catharsis, you turn the camera around and we have two, you know, we have tears in our eyes.
Talking about this reminded me of a moment, and there's a picture of this. It's no secret that they end up at the coast. That's in the writing of the film. But there's, after everything that had happened, after everything that we had all been through, Turner and I, after we'd gotten the final shots, sat next to each other on the beach, just looked out at the ocean and said nothing. Nothing needed to be said, but it was just like, holy shit, I can't believe we're sitting here right now and all of that just happened. You know,
hope we pressed record.
I hope it's on all those hard drives, but nothing needed to be said in that moment. It was felt, the totality of the experience.
Well, it feels that way watching it. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing for me. It feels like this kinetic thing just rolling along, and you were just kind of holding on. If there's a punk version of Fitzcarraldo or some version, I feel like this is it. This would be what you would say. Yeah, that's what that was like.
Holding on is a great way to put it. That's the way it felt. Like you just had to keep holding on because the roller coaster was going to keep going.
Yeah, well, it's all there. It's all there. I cannot emphasize enough for our listeners. Just if you want to see cinema on the edge, you want to see kids who are truly invested in each other, truly bonding, truly feels like something that, you know, you, in my youth, I wish I would have experienced something along. This is sort of the wish of the film is, that's the life I wish I had at that age been, been about. And it's wild. It's a wild and crazy ride. And, you know, through your work on Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets and other work, this feels like it just feels like this is in that continuum of what you guys have been doing for your careers. And my congratulations, heartfelt congratulations to you on this. And I look forward every time I talk to you, I look forward to more. And so thank you so very much.
Thank you for staying tuned, Mike. It is a continuation.
Yeah. We've been talking with the the co-directors, co-producers, co-writers, co-cinematographers, co-editors of this amazing film, Gasoline Rainbow, that would be Bill Ross and Turner Ross. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.